season's greetings, theater lovers. At this special time of the year, we here at Subtext Theater Company would like to convey the warmest of holiday wishes to our friends and supporters near and far. We'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know we haven't fallen off the face of the earth, but are merely in hibernation until the spring. But until we get back on the boards, please enjoy our own Winter's Tale, a festive seasonal radio play of unbearable tragedy and almost unimaginable horror entitled Legalize Ludafisk. Oh, okay. That's a bit of an overstatement. Well, at least it may seem to be for those fortunate enough never to have partaken of that peculiar Scandinavian delicacy. But enough of the preamble.
It is December 1979. Jimmy Carter is in the White House. The Soviet Union holds sway in half of the industrialized world, and American hostages have just been taken in Iran. But for the Larson family of St. Cloud, Minnesota, the holiday season heralds but two certainties, going back to time immemorial: a visit from Great Uncle Sven, and the traditional holiday meal of Ludafisk.
It's cold out there. Okay, now I'll just put the lid back on it.
This is so unfair, Mom.
Well, maybe it's time you learned that life isn't always fair, Linnea.
Oh, geez. Time to scram.
Mother, you can't be serious. You're making nothing else tonight but that horrible Swedish food?
It's not horrible, Linnea. You're not accustomed to it, that's all. It's quite good once you acquire a taste for it.
If it's so good, how come in the past years you've also made tacos, or sloppy joes, or pizza for Eric and me?
Because you were children, Linnea. And children sometimes get a separate menu. You're not children anymore.
And that means we can no longer be served edible food?
Oh, stop it, Linnea. It's more than edible. It's
hideous.
It's
the Christmas, so we have to eat the junk that drove our ancestors out of the old country meal.
Comfort food, Linnea. Also known collectively as comfort food.
Comfort food? Please. Maybe if we were Italian, or Mexican, or even Polish, it'd be comfort food. For us, it's just the yuck.
Oh, hello, Eric.
Hey, Mom. Yuck, eh, horseface? Been looking in the mirror again?
Oh, shut up, poser punk.
Stop it, you two. In the spirit of the season, can't you two have a ceasefire?
It's so hard, Ma. She supplies me with endless rounds of ammunition to use against her.
Endless rounds, is it? You should talk. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, look
seven,
at this. She's
eight,
taking inventory
nine,
of her working brain cells.
10, 11,
well, at least this won't
12,
take too long.
13, 14, 15.
Linnea, what are you doing?
Counting the horses coming out of the barn doors? 16, 17, 18, 19,
oh, for goodness sake, 20, zip up your pants, Eric.
22, 23, 24, 25. 25 horses coming out of Loser Boy's sad little denim barn doors.
And you could out-eat all of them, Linnea. Or should I say, Linnea?
Mom!
Eric, enough.
He thinks he's so funny. We'll see how much he laughs when he has to eat the gross Swedish food tonight.
I ain't eating any of that crap. You're making pizza, right, Mom?
No pizza.
Well, burgers then.
No burgers.
Well, then...
No pizza, no burgers, no sloppy joes, no tacos, no fish sticks, no meatloaf, no chicken fingers. You're going to sit at the table tonight like well-mannered young adults and partake of a delicious, nutritious, traditional Swedish holiday meal. And by God, you are going to like it. Do you understand?
Yes, Mother.
Eric?
Sure. Why not? You won't let me go down to the Twin Cities, so I might as well commit suicide by Ludafisk.
Don't start with me on that topic. You're already strumming my last nerve pretty hard, Buster.
Yeah, and you strum that nerve about as bad as you strum your guitar, loser punk.
And that's quite enough from you too, young lady. Now, your father will be home from the train station with Uncle Sven soon. I want you two on your best behavior this year. Uncle Sven went through a lot this year, losing Frida, and you need to be especially nice to him.
Well, Mom, it's hard. It's hard with Uncle Sven.
What do you mean by that?
Because he doesn't talk, Mom.
What do you mean he doesn't talk? Of course he talks.
No, Mom. Frida talked.
And talked. And talked and talked.
When I was little, I thought Great Uncle Sven was a mute.
I still think he might be.
Well, yes, I agree with you that Frida was...
a motor mouth.
Loquacious. Loquacious, Eric.
Turbocharged, Mom.
And yes, Uncle Sven is rather taciturn. But I suppose being married to Frida might have made him that way.
I don't know, Mom. Dad says it's always been hard to converse with Uncle Sven.
Yeah. Dad says you have to stick a crowbar in his mouth to get him to say anything, and a crowbar in his wallet to get him to pay for anything.
That's not true. Uncle Sven has always been more than generous with us.
Dad says he can afford to be a lot more.
Uncle Sven has been very successful in life, and a lot of that has to do with being wise with your money. That should be a lesson to both of you.
Well, it's hard to believe that Dad and Great Uncle Sven are related. They're so different.
Yeah, it's like Dad should have been related to Frida.
I'm not following, Eric.
Well, Frida ran her mouth all the time, and Dad makes his living with his mouth, while Uncle Sven never says anything, so...
What does that mean? Your father makes his living with his mouth. Your father operates the largest independent insurance brokerage in St. Cloud.
Yeah, he sells insurance, Mom. He gets on the phone and he calls people up who don't want to talk to him, and he breaks them down and he sells them insurance.
He doesn't do that so much anymore. He has people for that now.
When I was little, I called him the telephone man. Remember, Mom?
Yes, I remember. And I think it's shameful to talk about your father that way. Being a salesman is hard work, and your father has worked extremely hard. Everything in this household is the result of his efforts, all the way down to the braces on your teeth, young lady, and those guitar lessons for you, young man.
That's just stuff.
Mom, Dad may have put everything in the house, but it's you that makes it a home.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. But mark my words. Someday you'll appreciate your father's efforts. What he has to put himself through to put food on the table.
Yeah, and tonight, what food it is. Just look at it there, quivering like a gelatinous blob of ick.
Who took the lutefisk out of the refrigerator?
I guess I did, Mom. I had to move it to get the orange juice and forgot to put it back.
Well, that needs to go in the oven.
It needs to go in the garbage disposal.
No, I think Mom's right. I think it's going to be really good this year. The best lutefisk ever. A meal fit for a king. The plastic insurance king of St. Cloud. And Great Uncle Sven. The cardboard king of the Great Northwoods.
You are such a little weirdo.
Eric, sometimes I wonder about you. Now, both of you, go finish your homework while I start supper.
Oh, don't worry about that little snow on your feet, Uncle Sven. With a couple of teenagers in the house, dragging in a little snow is the least of our worries. Well, I think you've gotten it all now. Okay, then. Ellen! Oh, Ellen!
In the kitchen, Lars!
Ta-da! Fresh from the Great North Woods, may I present to you everyone's favorite relation, Uncle Sven Gunderson.
She knows who I am, Lars.
Uncle Sven! My, but it's wonderful to see you!
Ellen, as always, you are a welcome sight for my sore old eyes.
Oh! My goodness, now that's what I call a hug!
I am sorry, Ellen. It has been a while since I hugged a woman. I got carried away.
Well, you don't know your own strength, Uncle Sven. 76 years old and still strong. Strong as a big old Northwoods bear.
Uncle Sven, I've thought so much about you in the past 9 months. It was such a horrible shock about Frida.
Yeah.
So hard on you to lose her. Literally overnight.
No, If it had to be that way, that was the best. She did not suffer. She simply went to bed that night and never woke up.
But in thinking of you, that's so hard. Never having a chance to say goodbye.
My feelings do not matter. She did not suffer, and that is most important.
Well, we Gundersons are made of pretty stern stuff, Alan.
Yeah, but your name is Larson.
Well, yes, but my mom, your sister, was a Gunderson.
Yeah, but your name has never been Gunderson. It has always been Larson.
I was speaking of the bloodline, Uncle Sven. The bloodline.
I suppose. I would like to use your washroom, if I may. The facilities on the Amtrak train were not in good working order. In fact, they were overflowed.
Oh, dear, no. Please, go right ahead. You remember, first door on the right?
Thank you.
Thanks for being so patient and understanding with Uncle Sven, Ellen. I know it can be a chore.
Lars, it's not a chore. The poor man lost his wife of 50 years.
I know, but good God. You try to bolster him up, bring up his spirits, and you get cold water thrown on you for all your trouble.
Lars, he's not the kind of man who needs or wants his spirits bolstered. You're not trying to sell him insurance.
No, but I am trying to stay on his good side. We're his only living relations. And that cardboard factory? Well, that's worth a couple million at least.
Ugh, Lars.
Now, where are the kids? I hope you've impressed upon them that they need to be on their best behavior.
Well, they are not thrilled about the menu.
Who is? Oh, they can just suck it up like we all have all these years.
Well, thanks a lot. Preparing this meal is a lot of work, and you're not going to get much cooperation from Eric. He's still angry about us not letting him go down to the Twin Cities this weekend.
Well, he'll get over it. Him and that hoodlum band of his. Wanting to go down and agitate with a bunch of other hoodlum bands.
It's a battle of the bands contest, Lars, not a street brawl.
Well, it'll turn into one, believe me. I've seen the news footage from England of those punks. You're with me on this, aren't you?
Of course. He's too young to be gallivanting off to the Twin Cities.
That's right. Hey, you know, I've had more conversation with Uncle Sven just coming from the train station than I've had with him in the last 10 years.
Well, if you keep up the mindless chit-chat, you may hear more from him than you care to.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Nothing, Lars. Nothing.
Hey, Pop. What's cooking? As if I don't know what we're stuck with.
Don't you what's cooking me, young man?
What?
I thought I told you I wanted you cleaned up when I got back from the train station with Uncle Sven. And now we're back. And you're still not dressed.
Begging your pardon, Father? I believe I am dressed, actually.
Yes, like a punk derelict, torn jeans and that horrible sweatshirt. I thought I made it clear this morning. I wanted you and your sister spiffy and spit shine tonight for Uncle Sven.
I tried, Pop. I tried spitting on Linnea, but she just ran away screaming.
Why, you!
It doesn't matter now. We're going to eat in 10 minutes. Why does it matter how he's dressed?
Well, he could get that spike out of his ear and change out of that horrible sweatshirt. That's no kind of impression to make on Uncle Sven. Great. Looky here, Sven. Here's your grandnephew, at least this year's version of him. You've no doubt heard of our illustrious ancestor, Eric the Red. Well, in his place, I give you Eric the Black.
Eric, it is good to see you. Good Yule.
Merry Christmas, good Yule, Uncle Sven.
Your father tells me you have a band now. Is this what they make you wear?
Nobody makes us wear anything. We wear what we want.
Oh, these kids today. Eric has taken right to the guitar, like a fish in water.
Or depending on your perspective, like stink on shit.
Well, look, there's my little girl. And as pretty as a picture. At least one of my kids knows how to make a good impression.
Hey, everybody. Good Jewel, Uncle Sven.
Ah, dear sweet Linnea. I am sorry, I do not mean to stare. But every year you look so much more like Sonia. It takes my breath away.
Oh, she favors her grandmother. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and understand. I was young when I left home and did not see my little sister Sonia for many, many years. So in my mind, she's always this age. And to see her again in you is very, very nice.
Thank you, Great Uncle Sven. It's always nice to see you. So sad it's only once a year.
What a suck up.
Deal with it, loser.
Trying to fall off your shoes.
Well, I think everything is finally done. Why doesn't everybody head to the dining room and Linnea and I will get the food on the table?
It's still not too late. I mean, we still have time for Chinese takeout, right, Dad?
My boy Eric, such a cut up. Come on, Uncle Sven.
I'll deal with you later.
Okay then. Looks like everything is on the table and we're all ready to eat. Hey, Uncle Sven, can you do us the favor of grace this year?
Yeah, of course. Come, our Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good luck with JC blessing the Lutefisk.
I swear to God, one more word out of you.
You know, Uncle Sven, back in the kitchen, you mentioned you left home when you were young. I don't believe I've ever heard the story of how you made your way to the Great North Woods.
Well, it was not a happy subject at the time. There was much objection to my leaving. My father and mother said I was much too young.
How old were you?
18.
You see? Uncle Sven was 18 and he left home. So I'm plenty old enough to go down to the Twin Cities for the Battle of the Bands.
We're not having this conversation now, Eric. Understand that.
It's totally not fair.
Things were different then. The big cities are so much more dangerous now. Right, Uncle Sven?
I would not know. I did not go to the big city. I went from the farm down south up to the Great North Woods.
And the rest is history. He went up there, focused on one thing, worked his fanny off, and now manufactures more cardboard boxes than anybody else in the state of Minnesota.
I did not go to the North Woods to make cardboard boxes, Lars.
No?
No. I had the silly idea I would be a fur trapper living off of the land, alone out in the woods like a frontiersman with my pack horse and my traps, fighting Indians, maybe too.
Really?
Sure. Completely unrealistic, which was why the great unpleasantness at home with my father and my mother.
What year was this?
This was 1921, and up north there were no beavers, there were no foxes, there were no wolves, and only Indians, and they were on the reservations, and they did not want to fight, only drink.
So what did you do?
I could not go home and admit my foolishness to my father and mother. So I worked in lumber camps. Then I went up to the Iron Range for a few years. There I met a man who knew a man who was starting to make cardboard. I went to work for him. One thing led to another, and 50 years later, here I am.
I never knew any of this. Uncle Sven, it's so nice to hear you talk at length about this.
God knows you never could before.
Dad.
Oh, I mean, leaving home, the painful memories of all those years ago.
I know what you meant. Frida. With her gone, I find my life is much quieter now. There is more silence, which I now have the opportunity to fill.
It's nice to hear you talk, Uncle Sven.
It is nice to be listened to, Sonia. I mean, Linnea.
Yes, it is. Now, Lars, why don't you get the lutefisk started and passed around? Nobody's touched it yet.
Oh, excuse me. Where are my manners? I sure don't want to hoard all the good stuff for myself. Here you go, Linnea. A nice big piece.
That is so gross.
Hush, Linnea, and pass it down to Uncle Sven.
It's like fish jello. It's all pale and globby and rubbery and...
Absolutely. That's the sign of good lutefisk. Right, Uncle Sven?
Yeah, if there is such a thing.
How exactly does a fish become like jello, Mom?
That's the lie, honey. It all comes down to the lie.
Aha! So you admit it is a lie, and it is terrible.
Not L-I-E, lie, as in falsehood. Lye. L-Y-E. The fish is soaked in lye to break it down.
Isn't that poisonous?
Well, hell yeah. Just look at it.
No cursing at the table, young man.
After you soak it in lye, then you soak it in water, repeatedly, until you've leached out all of the lye.
Right. And then you're left with...
yuck. You're left with yuck.
Well, then you bake up the yuck and serve it with cream gravy.
And if you're lucky, all you taste is the cream gravy.
But whose bright idea was it to soak food in drain cleaner and then go and eat it?
It was probably immigration policy.
Immigration policy?
Sure, to get people to leave Sweden.
Not funny, smart aleck.
I still don't understand the part about soaking it in lye, Mom.
You could not eat the fish unless it was put in the lye, Linnea.
Why not?
Because it's a dried fish, Linnea. Dried, and as hard as a plank of wood. The lye reconstitutes the fish. You see, kids, back in the old days, the fish would sit outside the old grocery stores right on the sidewalk.
Oh boy, here it comes.
Oh no. Not the gross lutefisk story, Dad.
You can't set up your father like that, Linnea.
But he tells the same story every year.
I know, dear. Lars, maybe you should give that one a rest this year.
No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it again. It's like a family tradition.
It's a tradition we could give a rest to, as far as I'm concerned.
Sven, I'll let you be the judge. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to beat us over the heads with it.
Uncle Sven, come on.
Oh, go ahead. You seem to enjoy telling it so much.
Like I said, at the old grocery stores way back when your great-grandfather Gunderson was a little boy, they would lean the big, dried planks of fish against the store outside on the sidewalk. Now, they were stiff as a board, and these were what his mother used to buy and take home and soak in lye to make the lutefisk.
Ooh, here it comes.
In fact, Grandpa Gunderson swore that the only lutefisk that ever had any flavor was the lutefisk that had been peed on first by a passing dog.
Oh, God.
That's the story. Right, Uncle Sven?
Yeah. He always claimed the best lutefisk was marinated first.
Well, was it true?
I would certainly hope not.
Weren't you ever interested in finding out?
Of course not. Don't be ridiculous, Eric.
Uncle Sven, can you vouch for the dog pee-flavored lutefisk?
Well, all I will say on this subject is that I do know that one time I had lutefisk that had been marinated.
You're kidding.
Not in recent years, I trust.
No, many, many years ago. 1921, to be exact. But I do not think this is a subject for the dinner table.
Amen to that.
But that's it. Enough. It's time to celebrate. Raise your glasses, everybody. A toast to another year of health and happiness. Skål.
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 Skål. Now, why do we always do that? Drink a toast to chewing tobacco.
Skål has nothing to do with chewing tobacco, Linnea. It's a toasting word, like cheers or to your health.
Okay, but what does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's just an old Nordic word to toast with.
No. There is more to it than that, Lars.
Oh?
Yeah. You see, way back in olden times, when the Vikings were the terror of the world, after fighting and vanquishing their enemies, they would cut off their heads and hollow out the skulls. They would fill the hollowed skulls with mead and raise the vessel to Father Odin, shouting, Skål! Skål! In tribute. Skål means skull.
That is so righteous, Uncle Sven.
That is so gross. Is there nothing about our heritage that isn't stomach-turning?
The world used to be a much harsher place, Linnea.
It was a barbaric dog-eat-dog world, sweetheart. Things are much better today, right, Uncle Sven?
Yeah, we no longer drink mead from the skulls of our enemies. We must prove our manhood by selling insurance or making cardboard boxes.
Well, I think we need to get back to drinking mead out of our enemies' skulls. What is mead, anyway?
It is a liquor made from fermented honey.
Ugh, sounds as bad as lutefisk.
Well, you can stick with Coca-Cola for now.
Still, that is so cool. And I'm renaming my band right now to Skull. Skull!
Well, I think that would be a fine name. What is your band's name now?
The Screaming Skulls.
Little sicko.
Well, what kind of music do the Screaming Skulls play?
Music? Please.
Hardcore punk, Great Uncle Sven. We speak truth to power, harshly.
I do not know this hardcore punk music. Who has influenced you to make this music?
Oh, there's a bunch of bands. You know, The Clash, of course, The Dead Boys, The Dead Kennedys.
So, you like the dead bands. This we have in common. The bands I like are dead, too.
Cool. Although, I hate the Grateful Dead. Hippie posers.
I was thinking more of Glenn Miller and Artie Shaw. Those bands, they are dead.
They weren't hippies, were they?
No, they were not the hippies.
Good.
Honestly, Eric, those songs you boys play.
You mean the noise they make?
Loud, ugly noise.
It's so discordant. Why can't you play a nice song? Like that one I heard on the radio about Dust in the Wind?
That song? All We Are Is Dust in the Wind? Good God, Mom. Gag me.
Yeah, it is true. When there is dust in the wind, it will get into your windpipe and gag you. I would not think this is a good subject for a song. It sounds very filthy. Dirt blowing down your throat.
Well, I like it.
What are you doing listening to these dirty songs on the radio?
Oh, Lars. Sometimes.
Sometimes what?
Oh, never mind. Anyway, I think it's time we stopped talking and started eating before the food gets cold.
Yes. Your mother worked extremely hard to put this meal together. Eric, take some lutefisk and pass me down the dish.
No thanks. Here you go, Dad.
No. You take some first. You take some lutefisk and you eat it.
No way.
Eric?
No, Dad. I'll eat Swedish sausage, the korf. I'll eat the Swedish limpa bread. The bruna burn, the brown beans, the potatoes with cream gravy, and the lingonberries. Everything else, but I will not, under any circumstances, eat the lutefisk.
Well, as long as you're partaking of everything else...
I've noticed you haven't taken any lutefisk either, Dad.
I was being polite and waiting for everyone else, okay?
Everything looks wonderful, Ellen. You have done yourself proud.
Thank you, Uncle Sven.
Well, I suppose I should get the lutefisk out of the way first so as to fully enjoy the rest of the meal.
Honey, this, lutefisk. Did you do something different this year?
No. Same recipe as always.
Because it really has a nice flavor, a little more pungent, a little more punch.
I was thinking the same thing. Not as mild as usual.
You mean bland. At least it has some flavor, but it's still yucky fish jello.
Eric, are you sure you don't want to try some of this? You don't know what you're missing.
Oh, I know exactly what I'm missing.
It is very good lutefisk. I would say it has been many, many years since I have had such lutefisk.
Well, good. I'm so glad, Uncle Sven.
So, Uncle Sven, in your analysis, would you say that it is some of the best lutefisk you've ever had?
Yeah, grandnephew. This is indeed some of the best lutefisk I have ever eaten.
When was the last time you would say offhand that you had lutefisk that was as good as this in your analysis?
I know exactly when it was that I had such lutefisk. 1921.
Wow! Hey, take a bow, Ellen. You've made the lutefisk of a lifetime.
I'm thinking it may be possible she had some help.
Not since 1921? The year you left home, Uncle Sven?
The year of the marinated lutefisk? Mom? Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
So, everybody, In your analysis.
Why do you keep saying that? In your analysis.
Oh, I just want to get everyone's 2 cents on the lutefisk. In your analysis.
Stop saying that.
Mom, you really don't think...
About the barn doors being left open and lutefisk left out on the counter?
Yes.
Very good. I can follow your analysis.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because he's not saying 2 words, your analysis, Dad.
He's saying 1 word, your analysis.
Well, why on earth would he say that?
Because he urinated in the lutefisk, didn't you, Eric? You urinated in the lutefisk before I put it in the oven.
Well, like Uncle Sven, I prefer to think of it as a marinade.
Oh, no.
Uncle Sven, you're still eating the lutefisk?
Yeah, of course. So, you are very angry at your parents for their refusal to let you go to the city to play the punk music, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really pissed. No pun intended.
Yeah. In 1921, I was very pissed, too. Pissed my parents tried to stop me from going north and becoming the Northwoods Trapper.
So, what'd you do?
What do you think I did?
You, Uncle Sven? You were the secret marinator?
Yeah, that is correct.
Out freaking standing! Great Uncle Sven! Oh, outstanding! It turns out you and I are a lot alike after all.
I'm afraid not, grandnephew.
No?
No. Because in 1921, I was brave, and you are a coward.
A coward? How am I a coward, Uncle Sven?
In 1921, I was all in. I was fully committed. I was willing and able to eat the lutefisk that I had peed in. And I am still willing, and you are not.
And that makes me a coward.
Yeah, that makes you a coward. You see, Eric, as you go through your life, you are going to make some messes. Everybody makes a mess. The good Lord knows that I surely did. But I was always willing to clean up the messes that I have made. I never made a mess and walked away like a dog that had peed on the lutefisk. I was always willing to eat the lutefisk.
Well, I don't think that makes me a coward.
No? If so, then here. Go ahead and show me. Eat the lutefisk.
Eat the lutefisk?
Eat the lutefisk!
Why, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it is not too bad at all. And congratulations, you are a coward no longer. Raise your glass, grandnephew. Skål. Skål, Eric.
Don't you mean skull? Skull, great Uncle Sven.
Yeah, have it your way. Skål.
Thank you for listening to Subtext Theater Company's radio production of Legalize Lutefisk. At this point, we'd like to thank the actors who brought our holiday extravaganza to life. Eric was played by Michael Dritto. Renee Stone was Ellen. Katherine Johnson was Linnea. Jonathan Rocky Hadlock was Lars. And Lee Johnson was Great Uncle Sven. Production was by Jacob Hadlock of Hadlock Media. We sincerely hope you enjoyed it half as much as we did in presenting it to you. My name is John Oster, and again, we hope to see you in the spring when we will be presenting the world premiere of Lee Johnson's A Prayer for the Sandinistas. Until then, we wish you a warm season's greeting, or as Uncle Sven would say, good Yule!
I can't get the taste out of my mouth!
Quit hogging all the mouthwash!
It doesn't matter. It doesn't work.